Good afternoon. The time is 3:41 p.m. We are here today, August 12, 2016, in the OPA hearing room, Suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagatna, Guam, for the pre-hearing of OPAPA 16-009, Purstone LLC versus the Guam Economic Development Authority and Chamorro Land Trust Commission. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Peter C. Perez and Public Auditor Doris Forrest Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Yuka Hechinova, Jarek Hernandez, and Ira Palero. Will Appellant Purestone please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Confident Jacqueline Chalahi for Purestone. Present with me is Samantha Stern for the President.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency GIDA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Thomas Fisher. I am an attorney representing the Guam Economic Development Authority, the appellee in this case, the agency. There is no institutional representative with me this afternoon.
Will Purchasing Agency, CLTC, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Kristen Finney, I'm with the Office of the Attorney General, with the Director of Land Management, Michael Borja. Chamorro Land Trust, though, wasn't the purchasing agency, just for clarification. They were the using agency. So I just want, you mentioned them as the purchasing agency.
Okay. We may proceed.
So on August 9th, 2016, Purestone filed Appellant Purestone's amended disclosures for conflicts check. So it indicates regarding Terrence Brooks's involvement in the drafting of the RFP. Is this a, so could you elaborate on
yes.
the disclosure?
If I can elaborate, first of all, thank you for moving the hearing to 3:30 this afternoon. It really helped the situation. With regard to our amended disclosure, I apologize for the untimely nature of it. As a result of my review of the historical file of the RFP in this particular matter, it occurred to me that it was Terry Brooks who was the attorney negotiating the development agreement. The reason why it hadn't come up before was because attorney Tom Fisher is currently representing GIDA. Based on that fact, I realized that there had not been any disclosure of Mr. Brooks's involvement in this case. And because he was involved in specifically the drafting and the negotiation of the development contract, which essentially is going to be an issue in this particular appeal, whether or not a development agreement requires versus a commercial lease or a commercial license. That's one of the issues that you're going to have to address in this matter and may require Mr. Brooks's involvement with relation to what was being drafted at that time. The RFP is quite old. It was originally put out at the end of 2013, a period for response and so forth. The actual development agreement was put on hold as a result of a directive by the CLTC to wait for commercial rules and regulations to be put into place. So as a result, we have this big time frame, this big gap of time frame. And I'd also point out for purposes of our record that there were no references to Mr. Brooks in the agency record, which is why it didn't raise a red flag until I began reviewing some information that I had in the case.
I'm aware that Terry is the legal, I don't know in what capacity that he's the legal counsel for GIDA, but it's my understanding he only recently became so. What evidence do you have that he was actually involved in the drafting of the RFP?
I have emails to that effect.
I see.
And this is the reason why it came to my attention, because it wasn't included in the agency report, those particular emails, but I don't know if in the course of normal proceedings they would include emails as part of the procurement record for the drafting of the development agreement.
So you've made a disclosure, but it's unclear whether is it to be treated as an objection or?
Well, I have not had the opportunity to sit with my client and our counterparts, which require their consent to file a motion for disqualification. So I would ask if you're asking me whether my client is moving to disqualify the OPA, that if I could have a short time period so that we can make that determination at least in the next five business days.
I'm not sure whether you need to do it as a motion to disqualify at this point or just clarify whether you're objecting. You could do it either way, I suppose. And that probably public auditor will review also on her side. So if ultimately the public auditor either recuses herself or for whatever reason doesn't participate in this proceeding, then we need to examine what the next step would be, whether this would still be a proceeding before the Office of Public Accountability through a delegate such as
the deputy, Yuka,
Yuka
Hechinova.
Or what the party's positions might be regarding that. So should we defer scheduling matters until this issue?
Yes, I think it would be appropriate.
So Mr. Lahi, how much time would you like to submit your position on this matter?
Today is the 12th. If I could have 5 business days, so that would be putting us into August 22nd. If I can have till August 22nd to actually file any position.
Okay, because we'll probably, okay.
Yeah, that's actually open for me because that was originally scheduled for Cortex, and Cortex has now been moved. So we could either meet, let's say, on the, if she files it, we'll go, that's where it's more for us to decide. So, because I leave, so maybe on the 20th. What's your schedule like?
I don't think I'm open. So the discussion is, obviously these appeals, we want to expedite them, but you're asking until the 22nd to put your position forward, and we want to set a continued pre-hearing conference for the 24th. But Mr. Fisher will need an opportunity to put his position forward, and Ms. Finney.
I leave the next day.
23rd? Or could, or
23rd is the 23rd okay?
It is, but yeah. I mean, if you file on the 22nd, Mr. Fisher and Ms. Finney, you won't have a reasonable opportunity to put your positions forward by then.
I can push for a determination by the 18th. It's just our executive is traveling at this time, so I'm not sure if we're going to be able to tie him down. And that's my only concern, is trying to coordinate a conference call between now and then and get something filed as well.
Because the public auditor, there will be some periods of unavailability.
Yes.
On this side as well.
Yes, I can go. I can commit at least to giving you some response by the 18th, so that that would give Mr. Fisher an opportunity to respond by the 22nd, and then perhaps we can have the hearing, the status hearing on it.
On the 23rd.
If you want the 19th, that's fine, because there's an interview weekend.
Okay. So August 19th for Pure Stone, and then Mr. Fisher. 22nd is okay with you?
That would be fine.
And then hearing on the 23rd?
I'm sorry.
Was the 23rd acceptable to you?
Yes, please. I've got just got a meetings on at 2 and 3 in the afternoon on that date.
So
it's
okay.
The morning?
So morning.
Morning's much better.
Okay. 9 o'clock. Yeah. 9 o'clock.
Okay, so we'll have a continued pre-hearing conference on August 23rd at 9 o'clock. Pure Stone will file their position regarding their disclosure by August 19th, and Mr. Fisher and Ms. Finney. Are you okay with those dates, Ms. Finney?
I am, but can I just, I just want to make sure that that we also get served with whatever is filed, that a copy
is. So, will you guys, will Pure Stone please make sure that?
Well, that's one of the issues we wanted clarification on today, was that right now the CLTC is only an interested party. They are not the named party on this appeal. And so if they are entering as a party to this action so that they would also have an obligation to file responses and so forth, then of course I will. But according to the OPA's rules, the procedural rules, the responsibility for sharing that information on the with the CLTC rests in the named party, which is GEDA. So, I mean, it's only because, you know, the difficulty of serving two offices the same exact documents.
Since the two of you are in the same building, could we input on GEDA to make sure that CLTC gets it, you know, because you're only a couple of floors down?
But as to the documents you're filing, you want us to serve them for you?
No, not at all. To share it with them. I mean,
oh, sure, of course.
Typically, if there's a named party, I would absolutely serve. But I've been told that I don't know if you're taking a position on being an actual named party in this appeal.
I think they're here because in my agency report, I asked that the Office of Public Accountability bring them in. I don't know if a formal decision has been made on that request.
I think you just asked for a summons, right, for them to. I think it was just a summons, that they be summoned to appear today.
Yes, but I mean, yes.
So is that a determination that you want the public auditor to make, or is that a determination that you guys will make on your side?
I don't think we're capable of making that decision. I mean,
as to who the purchasing agency is?
Yes,
we're not sure who the purchasing agency really is in this case. Is it GEDA or is it CLTC?
Who do you mean?
Is my understanding is we were instructed by the legislature.
Yeah.
Why was GEDA the purchasing agency?
She named.
I mean, it was
GEDA in on behalf of CLTC.
GEDA on behalf of CLTC. GEDA on behalf of CLTC.
And so I thought it was appropriate to have them here because we were instructed by CLTC to cancel.
Because what happened the last time was that there was really no notice of cancellation,
right?
A formal notice, and that's why we ordered the last time for GEDA to issue the formal notice. And then now you're appealing that cancellation, correct?
Yes.
You're appealing that cancellation.
Not the one from the old case, but a new process took place as soon as the OPA rendered a decision, and so it's basically.
But are we still talking about the old RFP or
yes.
the new RFP?
We're still talking about
the same
RFP.
The same RFP.
Yes.
Which is old right now. which is back to 2013.
Yes, was the initial release of the RFP.
And maybe Mr. Bora, for clarification again, just for the record. You did that because of a public law that was passed by the legislature regarding this whole land lease area on the basis of rules and regulations, correct? Or in effect, summarizes?
In the spirit of the rules and regulations, public law that was passed for the Toronto Land Trust Commission, that was the way we read it. It wasn't something we added. It was something that was put in place and directed to us, and that's how we interpreted it. And we also did it in accordance with the stipulations that permitted us to do so in the RFP.
And I think that's partially why Gita believes that they're the more competent party, because it was their decision making that is really an issue here. We just were a conduit. So.
So what's is there? What's the request?
Well, I don't know what Kirsten's position would be on this, but just you know.
I mean, they fashioned their notice of appeal in a particular way.
And that was pursuant to the last cancellation, because GITA is actually the one who should have issued the cancellation, and we did.
Yes.
But that was at the instruction of another agency.
Yes.
So I believe that, I'm sure Mr. Borja and Ms. Binney may have a separate opinion, but I believe that they should be present.
Yes.
In what capacity?
As a party? Or as...
They're the real party in interest, I think.
So, I mean, do the parties want to brief this too?
No.
From Pearstone's perspective, at least I can tell you, is that we want to make sure that our appeal is in the right place with the right party. We've done this once before. We fashioned it, this new appeal, because of the outcome of the last case. And so it was necessary for us to name GITA as the party based on the last appeal. So in this case, we all know that the one who holds all the information and all the pertinent action in this case really came from the CLTC. So the CLTC really is the governing body of the procurement, even though GITA was acting on their behalf. And this is why we said in our appeal that GITA acted on behalf of the CLTC. Because that is based on the RFP as well. The RFP language says specifically that they are acting on behalf of the CLTC.
And Mr. Borja, being familiar with CLTC, and you have a memorandum of agreement, correct, with GITA in handling matters such as this?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So that's kind of like where, because CLTC has contracted with GITA to handle the, you know, exploring the leases and of all of the Toronto Land Trust properties, you know, because, you know, and there's a financial, you know, there's an agreement in and where GITA gets a percentage, correct, of the amounts that GITA goes out and solicits that ultimately becomes. So GITA does have an interest in this also, in that should a lease be consummated at GITA's, through GITA, GITA will get a commission of that lease, is my general understanding from the agreement that you presently hold with GITA.
And can I just also point out that, you know, GITA has the record of the GITA issued the RFP. GITA has the record. Like I was just, you know, hearing Mr. Lahi saying that CLTC has all the information. Actually, GITA has the record. That's not with CLTC, and they were the point of contact for the RFP, not CLTC. So I just want to point that out as well.
That's true, but we really weren't the decisional body. We were not the body that made the decision. That would have been Chamorro Land Trust, who instructed GITA as their, I'm not sure agent is the correct word, but we acted upon instruction of Chamorro Land Trust. I think that it's appropriate to be here, and I don't know.
No one's questioning them not being here.
But in what capacity? What capacity?
But in what capacity?
I mean, I'm not sure there's anything really even before the public auditor right now, other than the request that they were summoned to be here today, and they're here. So I think we just proceed, and the parties do what they need to do and present what they want to present. If you feel like they need to be officially made a party, then I think you file that.
Yeah, because this, depending on what happens with her filing, and then we have to also explore the possibility of my deputy taking over as the, in my capacity, should I need to recuse myself.
I'm thinking about what would happen speculatively on appeal if we had the wrong parties here.
You'd file a motion to dismiss. Mm-hmm. I would think.
Well, at least for the time being, because we still have this motion, potential motion for disqualification and objection outstanding, that for the time being, we treat CLTC as an interested party. I will serve Mr. Fisher, and I will courtesy copy Ms. Finney via email so that in case there's no communication between the two floors, at the very least, she'll get it immediately.
It's probably better at this stage, especially because we're going to be dealing with a threshold issue regarding the public auditor's participation.
Yes.
The party should also probably address their position regarding, in the event the public auditor does not participate, what the party's position is regarding the deputy. Presiding.
Are you asking the parties to address whether or not we would consent?
Yes.
To? Okay. And I mean, the only reason why I frame it in that manner is because the way that your rules are set up, it's supposed to go to the Superior Court as opposed to.
That was changed, and this is what kind of like where. That was changed where we in our rules had said that. It would be handled by the hearing officer and a senior member of the office. And that's kind of like where we have put that out and the recognition of that. Again, in light of the fact that this is supposed to be an expedited matter.
And Madam, I don't know that there was a change to your rules. Because yeah.
It was published, and we will. I think we'll go ahead and send all the parties.
Yeah, it's posted on our website.
That's
yeah.
what
yeah.
the rules I'm referring to. The one on the website refers specifically to the disqualification being referred to the Superior Court.
No,
so,
there was a subsequent one. Yeah.
So if there is a newer version,
and actually it was subsequent, but it was like at least 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's why I'm saying
yeah.
the one that is on the web today.
Okay,
I made sure I punched print today, and that was the rule.
Okay,
that was there
thank
today.
You for pointing that out to us. We'll need to make sure that the
we
other
still
one.
Still haven't updated it.
Yeah, huh?
The compiler of laws has not updated the rules yet.
Oh, the compiler of laws, okay. Compiler
not.
Of laws has not updated the
is,
rules.
But I pulled it from the OPA website.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll
yes,
we'll
figure out that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
no problem.
Okay.
And if we can get a copy of those in the next day or two.
Yes. Well, by Monday, she will send them out. Yeah. She will send them to all the parties, and we'll make sure our website is updated for that. So thank you for pointing that out.
Is there anything further?
Nothing from Vita.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Off the record at 4:04 p.m.